Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. It is my privilege and honor today to have four of our seniors join with me in this chapel meditation on prayer, and I'm grateful to them for sharing with me this brief time of prayer and meditation. Our aim today is to engage our community in prayer after a manner, and the burden of this prayer, or this prayer meditation, is that we may get a new sense or renew our sense of the urgency of involvement in the streets and paths and sidewalks and crossroads of the world all the days of the week and all the times of the week. Prayer, of course, is said in many ways, and it is, we believe, always honored by God if it is genuine, but it sometimes goes unnoticed around us and is on many occasions unrecognized as such by some of us because of the way in which it is said or the language which is used in prayer. At this time, we want to join together in earnest prayer. And some of these prayers, at least two of them, may seem to you not to be prayers, at least in the traditional sense, and indeed they are not. But they are nevertheless prayers. In fact, I would guess that they represent perhaps more of what is genuine prayer today than what we traditionally accept as prayer. We're going to bow now and pray together, joining in prayer first after the manner of Bobby Dylan, then after the manner of Malcolm Boyd, and finally after the classical style of John Bailey. I hope you will remain prayerfully involved during all three of these spoken prayers. Let us now join in prayer together.
How many roads must a man fall down before they call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? How many times must a cannonball fly before they're forever head? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? How many years can some people exist before they are allowed to be free? How many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? How many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? How many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
They say that everyone has his cross to bear, Lord. And you once said, "Take up your cross and follow me." What do these things mean? I think they mean that every person ultimately has to face up to reality, face his own destiny, his own calling, his own nature and responsibilities. In your own life, Jesus, you faced reality directly and unequivocally. You incarnated the truth as you believed it. You didn't pander to any easy or obvious popularity. You attacked the hypocrisies of the human power structure head on. You rejected the status quo in favor of obedience to the kingdom of God. And when it came to taking the consequences, you didn't shy away from the most difficult forms of torture and execution. The way of the cross was your understanding of your mission and your faithfulness to it. The way of the cross seems to be, for every individual Christian, the reality which dictates his style of life, defines his own mission, and brings him into communion with you. Help me bear my cross on the way of the cross, Jesus.
O Father in heaven, who didst fashion my limbs to serve thee and my soul to follow hard after thee, with sorrow and contrition of heart I acknowledge before thee the faults and failures of the day that is now past. Too long, O Father, have I tried thy patience, too often have I betrayed the sacred trust thou hast given me to keep. Yet thou art still willing that I should come to thee in lowliness of heart as I now do, beseeching thee to drown my transgressions in the sea of thine own infinite love. My failure to be true even to my own accepted standards, my self-deception in face of temptation, my choosing of the worst when I know the better, O Lord, forgive. My failure to apply to myself the standards of conduct I demand of others. My blindness to the suffering of others and my slowness to be taught by my own. My complacence towards wrongs that do not touch my own case and my oversensitiveness to those that do. My slowness to see the good in my fellows and see the evil in myself. My hardness of heart towards my neighbor's faults and my readiness to make allowance for my own. My unwillingness to believe that thou hast called me to a small work and my brother to a great one. O Lord, forgive. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and give me the strength of a willing spirit. Amen.
Let us read responsively, responsive reading number 51. The title of this reading is The Power of Prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that your requests be made known unto God.
And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms.
Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Confess your faults.
Elijah was a man to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months.
And he prayed
And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us.
Jesus, the anointed Christ, was not crucified in the split-level, air-conditioned, comfortable, restricted, segregated suburbs, but he was crucified on the city dump, on the trash heap, at the crossroads where all men met every day. And this can never be represented truly by a symbol or a form. He is the living Lord. He is the lighted flame of God in this world. And our joyous task is to bring him as such, the living Lord, the flame of God, into the life of our own world, where men pray there many ways, and our task is also to get him down from our spires and from our crosses into the thoroughfares and the streets of our lives. And hence this little prayer meditation on a brass cross, which was composed Easter week in the church next door. No cross of brass can take the place that Jesus took when, by God's grace, he paid the price for all our sins and set our hearts aflame within. Which torch of love can light the world if we will now become the heralds of what the cross was meant to say, when on that very blackest day the love of God was crucified and all the race of men denied? Death failed to conquer love so great that it could love in spite of hate. And now shall love's bright burning flame, kept high by service in his name, be seen around the whole wide world. God grant that we, with flags unfurled, may join as one in hand and heart, and say that we will do our part in bringing others to that flame that lights the world, in Jesus' name.
May we stand for our benediction. O God, as we come to thee in this hour, help us, dear Father, that we might realize the true significance of prayer. Realizing, O God, that we can come to thee in our triumphs and in our sorrows, asking thy guidance for our lives, realizing, O Lord, that thou would hear us. Heavenly Father, help us, O God, that as we go from this place, that we might go about our task with a sense of serving thee. Dear God, help us that we might realize that we are truly thy children. And dear God, help us that we might pattern our lives after thee in everything that we undertake to do. Dear Father, we ask now that thou would use us and direct us and lead us as we go about our daily task from day to day. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Let us praise the name of our God. In the beauty of holiness, let us wait. In the presence of his Spirit, let us pray. In this place that he has given, let us worship him. This is a season of thanksgiving, a time of joy and of praise. But in the midst of a fellowship such as ours, we are always aware of other needs, of sorrow, of bereavement, and even of death. Word has only recently been received of the death of the father of Mrs. Eugene Rubel. We certainly want to remember Mrs. Rubel, her husband Dr. Rubel, other members of the family in this time of sorrow, that in the midst of our own rejoicing and thanksgiving, that the community of love be extended even into their lives, wherever they are, that they may know of our concern. May we pray together. Our Father, we rejoice in the coming together to worship and in the privilege that is ours to praise thy name. We thank thee for this fellowship of learning and worship and love that is ours. And particularly in times of gathering together such as this, we recall and remember within our own experience so many manifestations of thy love. We ask that thou wouldst accept our humble thanks for thy goodness, for the experiences that we have shared one with another, for the revealing of person to person, for the sharing of moments of joy, for the sharing of deep moments of consecration, of revelation, and even of sorrow. We thank thee that together we find the meaning of the wholeness of our lives, and that together thy word is revealed more perfectly than it ever is revealed individually or singularly. And so our voices rise unto thee in praise and thanksgiving, not only for who thou art and what thou hast done, but for who we are, with the earnest prayer that our thanksgiving might also be translated into living one with another and in thy presence. We pray especially for that family of our number who are bereaved, and for others who find themselves in like circumstances this day. We ask that thy Spirit would minister to them, that they might know the comforting presence of the presence of God. We pray thy blessings upon our country, upon those who serve in places of great responsibility, especially for those who serve in lonely places and in places where their lives are in jeopardy and danger. At this time of thanksgiving, we utter our sincere prayer for peace and pray not only for ourselves and our friends, but we earnestly pray for those whom unfortunately we call our enemies. We ask that the time might soon come when such words might drop from our vocabulary, such thoughts might be removed from our minds, and when the efforts of our hands and hearts and of their hands and hearts might be united to the work of the betterment of mankind. Speak to us, we pray, in this service of worship. May our encounter be genuine, and may our knowledge come from thee. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.